always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. While some Republican senators call for an attack on Iran for the weekend drone attack that killed three U.S. troops and injured others at a base in Jordan, the Biden administration is considering what could be done that doesn't start a bigger Mideast war. It will be a response, says Secretary of State Blinken.
And that response could be multi-leveled, come in stages, and be sustained over time.
There is more about the effort by House Republicans to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas in a hearing tomorrow. It's over not stopping the asylum seekers at the southern border. Congressman Mike McCall, Texas Republican.
He knows what he's done, and he needs to pay for his sins.
A South Carolina judge has denied convicted murderer Alex Murdaugh's bid for a new trial. His defense team accused a court clerk of jury tampering by making comments to jurors. The judge says there's no evidence that the comments made any difference. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News. Sentencing today in Washington for an ex-government contractor who leaked copies of tax returns to news outlets.
Former IRS consultant Charles Littlejohn admitted in court that he accessed and released the tax returns of more than 1,000 wealthy Americans, including former President Trump. But in a deal with federal prosecutors, he pleaded guilty to just a single count of illegally disclosing tax information. Judge Ana Reyes, a Biden appointee, told Littlejohn that he engaged in an attack on democracy, and she imposed the maximum sentence for the single count, 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Amazon has canceled its bid to buy the maker of the Roomba vacuum, the retail giant blaming what it called undue hurdles to purchase iRobot. The deal was facing antitrust scrutiny in the U.S. and in Europe. Some online searches for Taylor Swift now paused by social media platform X after the circulation of pornographic deepfake images of the singer. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try soon. Harry's is available online and in-store at a retailer near you. Get a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/quality. That's harrys.com/quality. Or check us out at your local Costco for a price you can't find anywhere else. Just look for the Chrome Razor with 13 blade refills at your local Costco. You can't miss it. Exclusive to Costco members.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A key committee of state lawmakers this week will take up a proposed $7.5 million matching grant as Wisconsin seeks to become a regional federal tech hub. Lisa Johnson heads the group leading the effort. She tells WISN-TV's Upfront that state approval is an important step.
So now the state's coming forward and saying, we do believe it, we agree, and we're willing to put money behind this.
The governor has to sign off on the matching funds by the end of next month. A buck at a Sheboygan County deer farm has tested positive for chronic wasting disease. CWD is a fatal brain wasting disease similar to mad cow that strikes deer, elk, and moose. It's caused by an infectious protein called a prion that affects their brains. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Bucks head to Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks face the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, to kick off a five-game road trip, and they'll be doing it with their new head coach, Doc Rivers, who admits you'll probably see some new assistant coaches hired and others let go.
There are changes that we have to make. There's no doubt about that. We'll start working on it immediately.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers beat Michigan State over the weekend, 81-66. They seek their fourth win in a row in Nebraska Thursday against the Cornhuskers. NFL, the 49ers headed back to the Super Bowl. They were down by 17 points, but came back to beat Detroit 34-31. In Baltimore, the Ravens lost at home to the Chiefs 17-10. The Ravens were 4.5-point favorites to win. Quarterback Lamar Jackson asked if he was frustrated losing to Kansas City.
Well, I'm not frustrated at all. I'm angry about, you know, losing. We're a game away from the Super Bowl. We've been waiting all this time, all these moments for an opportunity like this, and we fell short.
That's Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, but mild, a high near 40 degrees. Sunshine and record highs possible Wednesday, upper 40s. Staying warm for the rest of the week with more sunshine than clouds and highs well into the 40s. Right now it's 38.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball coming up at noon on Tuesday, another edition of Wacky Things Legislators Say in Madison. Join us at noon on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Monday edition, Johnny Lupinacci, producer Anya, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. I know Friday was the big announcement, but Johnny and I were thinking about this going, you know what, though, make it again tonight. Why Monday? Why Busted Pencils? Well, how about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? How about Thursday? And how about Friday, Johnny Lupinacci? What do you think, man? I mean, 5 nights a week, Busted Pencils, my friend.
Exactly. I mean, I love it. I love it for our listeners. I love it for our callers and for me and you to get to chop it up daily. with Anya and sometimes Nate Dogg, but you know, being able to be with the Civic Media crew is just, it's an awesome way to spend the week. So
it is. And we look forward to it. Hey, you know what, too? Always 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Always callers, no matter what we're talking about. If you've got something, give us a call, jump in. We will stop the show, you know, well, to a point. We'll let you get on there and we'll let you chop it up with us. We got so much planned. Johnny and I keep sitting there thinking, how about this? How about that? Johnny, what do you think about this? Producer Anya and I are on today talking about, she's like, how about this? How about that? I'm like, oh my goodness. Maybe we'll get to all of this in the first 2 to 3 years. I mean, you guys are just throwing so many different things out there. I don't know where would we start. I mean, there's education news. There's Matt Damon's mom. There's astrophysicist Ethan. What else could there possibly be? We've got L.A. Tom. We know he'll be giving us a call. Everything you want is there. Dr. Diane Ravage, the Network for Public Education. Oh, every Wednesday, too. Check it out, Educators Amplified. Our friends from Milwaukee, Joanna and Hallie, every Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, coming to you from Milwaukee, bringing it, you know, what's happening out there, talking about regulations, keeping that nervous system the way it's supposed to be. But Johnny, you know what, before we get into the education news, though, the news, and Anya and Johnny both, no Packers, and Johnny, sadly, Lions. Lions.
I mean, it's been a rough couple of Mondays the last few weeks. It's like one team after another. You know, Tim, you're a Steelers guy. Anya's a Packer backer. I can't hate on the Packers. I mean, I grew up loving the Green Bay Packers, and so, but always a Lions fan. And you know, we had a little run going, and oof, we won't even mention, but third quarter got us, and we're out. So we're all in that sad Monday where, is there really still football? I mean, I guess, but
Yeah,
like I mean, said, let's just get a good season going and start looking forward to next year. And
well, you know what? In fact, throw it out there right now. I'm looking forward to next year football season because we said one of the things we always talk about on Busted Pencils, Friday night football, your favorite high school as well. Hey, check it out. In fact, right now, start letting us know. We want to come to a Friday night football next fall somewhere, Madison, Milwaukee, somewhere in Wisconsin. Who has the best Friday night football in the fall in Wisconsin? Busted Pencils live from Friday night football. Johnny, what do you think, man?
Well, you know, Tim, we talk about all things education here on Busted Pencils, and you cannot separate the kind of community building, especially in the Midwest, that is organized not only around, you know, students also having a well-rounded education that includes athletics, but clubs and extracurriculars. And there is nothing maybe more signifying and community unifying than Friday night football, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're excited to connect those dots in conversation, but also in community action. And you know, there is a long-standing relationship between you know, our athletic programs and really it writ large extracurricular activities that are a huge part of young people and their education and our education system. I mean, I learned so much, not only as a coach and a teacher, but so much too in the last few years from young people who have introduced me to esports and to all the different things that are happening in our schools that are in every way part of an education.
Can you get in shape playing esports though? I'm confused by that.
Yeah, man. I've been schooled in the and it is just phenomenal. And of course, you know, as a teacher, there is nothing better than learning things about things that kids are organizing and invested in. And this is definitely one, right? There's practices and there's schedules and there's all kinds of training and all kinds of work. It's different work, right, than the two-a-days, Tim, you and I are used to as football guys. But, you know, it's training, and it's in every way an organized, you know, program for it's still I'm still confused in a lot of places. It's falling under athletics, and so it's been pretty cool to learn about.
Wow. I tell you what, well, I think about that. Yeah. Esports. And I just had to make fun because, like, esports in my day was, you know, playing Atari. You know, and you know, the only thing that got to work out there was my thumb, you know, kind of that joystick hand. And so now that we're moving, but I know in my college too, there are lots and lots and lots of esports. Hey, the other things though, too, you know, we'll get to the news this week though. Just, you know, tomorrow night, Alan Collins, student loan justice. We're going to be talking, you know, and Alan, you know, it's already out there, but he's going to be making a major announcement tomorrow night, you know, making an announcement talking about democracy. Alan might be playing his part in democracy. Wednesday, we said Educators Amplified, Joanna and Rosado. Thursday, just booked special guest Kimber Wilkinson, professor, UW-Madison Special Education, coming on to talk about the national teacher shortage, not just writ large, but special education in particular. There is a everybody knows who listens to Busted Pencils, there's a massive teacher shortage in different areas. But Kimber, who's an expert in special education, UW-Madison, you know, University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, she's coming on, though, to talk very specifically about the shortage of special education teachers. Johnny, think about, you know, a shortage of teachers. Let that land for people going like, okay, so you show up one day, your teacher's not there. That's hard enough. You show up one day, you're a student, you're a family, you're a child with special needs. You have, you know, a program in place that's supposed to be there to support your individual needs. And there's not a special education teacher there for you. I don't know if people recognize, we say, well, there's a teacher shortage, there's a teacher shortage. Imagine what that means. Your child, second grade, has, you know, some cognitive requirements, some special education applications. no teacher there to help that. That's what's happening all over the country. Teacher shortage. That's just a hint. And then Friday, Johnny, I think what we said, you know, we're going to plan on doing the kind of wrapping up the week, you know, putting it in, talking about it, mashing it up. And again, always taking your calls. In fact, though, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789 is the call if you want to jump on. Johnny, what's, you know, biggest news thing I'm looking at today? I hate to say this, but, you know, we're going to go back. The attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion. I just now see Florida and Utah has just put forward a statewide ban on diversity, equity, and inclusion. How did we get here, Johnny? How can you ban? Think about the word diversity. Just go, you know, go to your Webster's dictionary, define it. That is now banned.
Yeah, it's really tricky, Tim, because, you know, we want, I'll always take the stance of, you know, banning anything in particular is a huge problem in a democracy, because it's saying, hey, we can't even get together and talk about this. We can't learn together about how to take on complex issues. For folks listening and things, we've done this before, but I like to just provide kind of a street level definition of diversity, because it is such a heated political topic. You know, if we just break it down, diversity is a condition of difference on which everything exists, right? We're talking mm-hmm. about the very fundamental baseline of all existence. Like, we're thinking about, you know, linguistic diversity, cultural diversity, biodiversity. These are important mainstays of life. And if we think about democracy, so now we jump to a way of organizing how we make decisions together in a community. Democracy is a way of organizing that honors diversity. Mm. It builds in that there are different ways of experiencing and understanding the world, and that we organize together around how to make decisions in support of and considering diversity. So, you know, if we're thinking about this as a fundamental
condition of
life, of right. being, like, nothing comes into its existence outside of its relationship to other things. That means there are all kinds of different things. This is, in essence, what the term diversity points towards. All the different ways we may understand and experience the world. And if we're preparing young people, especially, for complex decision-making in their communities, diversity education is paramount. It is absolutely necessary. Now, that said, it's become, you know, this sort of hot political topic based on the ignoring that definition of diversity, right? Mm-hmm. It's falling under a particular, it's being pointed to as a particular way or set of things that are being imposed. And that's absolutely not true. And right. so we're here to kind of chop it up in terms of let's turn the light on or put under the microscope the concept diversity, because really at its essence, when you attack anything like diversity, you're essentially attacking democracy, you know? So you can't do one without the other. And so attack, that's, you know,
that is, I mean, you got to hold on to that. Attacking diversity is the same as attacking democracy.
Yeah. It's the essence of anti-patriotic.
My goodness. Well, we think about that. You know, 1 minute we're coming up. Caller Jack, we see you there. We're going to get to you when we come back from the break. Diversity, attacking diversity, taking apart democracy. We haven't even gotten to equity and then inclusion. But the idea, Johnny, what we said, you know, first thing in the news, right in, I went through three different national education news publications, the banning of diversity headlines in every outlet out there. Want to talk more about it when we get back. We got Jack on the line from Merrimack. Jack, we're going to get to you when we get back. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. We are educated educators talking education, and we will be right back after the break.
Let
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
3 seconds.
3 seconds. 3 seconds.
3 seconds. Tim and Johnny, two woke warriors, teaching and learning in a post-pandemic world. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
Man. It is Busted Pencils. It's what we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It is Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded every day of the week now. Civic Media, thank you for bringing that. Caller Jack, Jack from Merrimack. We were debating. We're not sure Jack has ever called Busted Pencils. Jack, how are you, my friend?
Well, it's probably been a couple of years since I called because there was a gig I had every Tuesday night for several years. So the bottom line is... a little reminder, I have over 40 years, I've retired now from teaching, but I have over 40 years in education, and I taught at every level from the sixth grade up to about sophomore year college, and in public, private, and parochial schools, so I have a little perspective on a lot of these topics, to say the least. Awesome. One reason why I retired was when I Ken came in, and I discovered that the basically, as a teacher, you had no way of determining what the conditions would be in your classroom. I was getting old at the time anyway, but I just didn't have enough energy to both teach properly and fight that battle as well. My son, recently, I should say, now a few years ago, graduated from UW System School, and he has a degree in education in the state of Wisconsin. He found out through me that the St. Paul School District was offering a $10,000 signing bonus for new teachers, and he is now living in Minneapolis.
You're celebrating him for making that decision, I think, right, Jack?
Oh, I would say so, yes.
Okay.
He's got a good perspective, I think, on what he's doing right now. But in any case, here's my opinion for what this is worth. Back in the 1970s, to give you a little background, and I cannot give you an exact reference because it was a long time ago and I haven't been able to find it on the internet, but a group of extreme so-called conservatives decided that they were going to attack public education in America. And this has just simply gotten worse and worse and worse with the conservative and ever more extremist administrations that we've had over the years. I don't think the DEI truly is the issue. The issue is how can we get rid of public education as much as possible or make it so bloody expensive that you can't really afford to send a kid to college. You know, in a UW school for 5 years, it probably cost my son just for the tuition approximately $50,000. Now, he had two parents, both of whom had the ability to support him going through school. So he emerged debt-free. But the first thing I'm going to say is it's not very difficult to see how somebody in 5 years at a public university could leave with $50,000 in debt. That's not a surprise at all. But the DEI, that's just an excuse. And it's a great excuse for the extremists to fire up their base and say, oh, yeah, yeah, this is where the poor white people, we're getting the short end of the stick. They're going to replace us. Does that sound familiar? Anybody ever hear of replacement theory? Yeah. That's what I think this is about, as well as doing everything possible to cut back the funding on public education.
Jack, thank you so much for the call. We hope you're going to call regularly now that we are on every day of the week. And if you still have that Tuesday gig, we'll let you off on Tuesdays. You can have a day off on Tuesdays. Johnny, I think what Jack is saying, though, right there, you know, back to the 70s, the attack on public education, diversity, equity, and inclusion, the banning of. So Jack is like, look, let's be real. This is just the continued attack on public education writ large. Now it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And this just fires up the base, but that the real, you know, target here is, you know, or are our public schools.
And yeah, if you man. And awesome too, Jack, thanks for calling. Also, thank you, Jack, for all your years of service as an educator, you know, and at all the levels that you taught. You know, we just got to throw props out to teachers everywhere. And Jack, thanks for sharing that. Because, you know, if we're to just do like a cursory history of things, right? This, our public school systems, you know, really took up an effort, especially post the, you know, the first big wave of civil rights movement in this country, took up effort to be the great equalizer, to play a role. And that'll bring in that equity piece. You know, we gave a definition of diversity, you know, condition of difference on which everything exists. And then we talk about equity and inclusion. But, you know, public schools took up an effort to be an equalizer. This idea that every child in this country, regardless of what economic background you came from, regardless of, you know, your ethnicity, your race, was not only deserving, but was ideally given access to a quality education. This is something that, you know, Jack mentioned, you know, is not a new problem in our public school system. Is, hey, we set that goal. We started to really make efforts towards that. However, you know, there were concerted efforts to undermine that over the past, you know, 30, 40 years that have been fairly successful. And oftentimes a distraction is, you know, labeling and banning things. And this is, I think Jack hit the nail on the head. You know, DEI isn't the problem. It isn't the debate. It ought to be the baseline. Recognizing and valuing diversity, having a goal of equitable education for all, and inclusion, including every child, every member of our community in that process.
I mean, the way you just did that, though, it's like, I don't see how anybody could come back at you and go, yeah, but, because you just laid that out to the point of saying it's common knowledge. It's diversity, because the commitment to the differences that make us who we are, equity, because that's what we're striving for every day. And then inclusion, to know that in our public sphere, our public education system, you all are included. To attack that, what Jack is saying is a direct attack on public schools.
Well, and let's get into it, because Jack brought this up too, and it's impossible to separate. And it's important that he brought it up, and I'm really thankful for that, because he's an experienced educator, and he knows that an equitable quality education that includes all members of our community, especially children in that community, is not inexpensive. It costs something. Now, it costs less than incarcerating young people. It costs less than, you know, long-term health care from a lack of education. it is less expensive in the long run. It's important, but it does cost money. And so who does that cost fall on when we get back?
When we get back, busted pencils.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. While some Republican senators call for an attack on Iran for the weekend drone attack that killed three U.S. troops and injured others at a base in Jordan, the Biden administration is considering what could be done that doesn't start a bigger Mideast war. There'll be a response, says Secretary of State Blinken.
And that response could be multi-leveled, come in stages, and be sustained over time.
There is more about the effort by House Republicans to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas in a hearing tomorrow. It's over not stopping the asylum seekers at the southern border. Congressman Mike McCall, Texas Republican.
He knows what he's done, and he needs to pay for his sins.
A South Carolina judge has denied convicted murder.